Welcome to the Platinum Breeder College coaching call on, I don't even know what today is, what is today? March 24th, 2021. So glad to see you today. If you have not joined us before, we basically talk all things dogs and puppies, happy to answer questions or have interesting conversations. Whatever is coming up for you or something that you are thinking about. Great. Well, if you have not joined us before, the way that it works is it is first come, first serve. Don't be shy. Don't be polite. If you have a question, unmute yourself and ask or put it in the chat and we'll go one at a time. We usually go down the chat from top to bottom. So hurry and type in your question and we will go ahead and get started. Your question or your issue. I did see Renee's post about Dopplers. I don't know if anybody else saw that right before we came on, that there's back orders on Dopplers. So we should definitely talk about that if you're looking to purchase a Doppler in the short term. On questions, don't be shy. I try to cut at about 75 minutes. We will stop at 90 minutes. We might stop at 60 minutes if we run out of questions, but I don't want you to just be politely waiting until the end and then the call is over and you don't get your question answered. So go ahead and get started. Sarah, I see your post in there. Can you unmute yourself? Do you want to ask about timing? Hey.
Yes. So I have lots of questions. I don't know if you've seen my posts on the Avid Dog group. So my vet, they didn't do LH timing or LH testing. And so we just did cytology and progesterone. And after a week of progesterone doing, I was driving like 45 minutes one way to go and get progesterone testing. And after about a week of that, I found out that they weren't using like a quantitative test. They were using just the test strips. And so I drove 20 hours to our stud and my female is not allowing him to mount. And I don't know if it's because I completely missed it or if she's just not quite ready. And
can you get a progesterone done, Sarah? I did see your post. I thought I responded to a couple of them. This was the one where they were saying she was 2.8, 2.8, 2.8. Is that correct?
Yes, but I actually, so I called my vet, Monday to get some further guidance because it was Saturday. The vet tech told me that the vet tech said something about like, oh, it's just barely blue. And then I was like, so what kind of test is this? And then I found out that it was just the qualitative test. And so at that point I had asked to speak to the vet to get some more information. He wasn't in. So I talked to him Monday and apparently what he'd been saying was two to eight. So the progesterone was somewhere between 2 and 8 for Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Well, you should not have missed her if what's today, Wednesday. You should not have missed her if that's the case, but okay. You may be at the tail end. So, so the two things I would say just about what to do now.
Okay.
If you can get a progesterone, a single progesterone, that will be tremendously informative.
Okay.
And honestly, if they can't do same day progesterones, do an AI. Get the semen in and then figure out where she is. Because if she's early, nothing's going to happen. Like fine. Mm-hmm. The semen may swim up there and hang around, and some of them may still be there when the eggs ripen. And so that would be fine. If you've missed it, nothing bad is going to happen if you do mm-hmm. the AI. But I think at this point, if she has been, so she's been in estrus that entire time. Now, mm-hmm. estrus is pretty long. Estrus begins actually right around the LH peak, maybe a little bit before, as the follicles develop. Then we have the LH peak. Then 2 days later, she ovulates and the eggs aren't ripe for another 2 days. So this whole thing goes on for quite a while. And then she'll be fertilizable. The eggs will be fertilizable for 3 to 4 days. So that whole process is 9 days. So you okay. may be perfectly fine. But because okay. right now it's completely ambiguous and you are not able to get a live breeding, I'll just do my best to get some semen in. So if you could okay. take her to the vet, run a progesterone and get an AI simultaneously, then if you get, you should get the test results back the next day and then hop on the list and we can figure out where she's at.
Okay. And then the other thing, so I feel like I haven't missed it, but I just don't know. But the something else that I noticed, so she's tipping and she's flagging and she's like up in his face, but then when he goes to mount, then she'll just turn around and kind of push him away. And he's not, you know, super aggressive and like going after her. Like he's definitely interested, but he's listening to her. And I don't know, is part of that just because this is going to be her first tie. And so is she just like not sure what's going on, or is it because she's not ready? And at what point do I intervene, I guess? I mean,
yeah,
I guess
well, that's what the AI is okay. the intervention. Okay. So one thing that you can't do, we have to remember that those behaviors, the tipping, the flagging, the flirting, the humping, mm-hmm. you know, bitches will hump everything mm-hmm. During that period. Those are estrogen driven. But ovulation is progesterone driven.
Okay.
And they aren't necessarily aligned. Like, okay. All these girls, I don't know, we've had quite a few. I think we've had three. I'm overstating it. Three girls in the last couple of months on the Facebook page who were in what's called prolonged proestrus, where mm-hmm. they aren't going out of estrus, but they're also not really flirty, not tipping, not flagging. So there, we don't see this alignment between progesterone and estrus and estrogen. So yes, typically those two things will be working together and we'll see that estrogen peak prior to the progesterone rise. And so that sort of gets the boys excited and the girls prepped, but it doesn't necessarily have to happen that way. And it's not okay. indicative of a problem if estrogen is a little bit off. That said, that yeah, a maiden bitch will often be a little concerned about what's happening, back there, like, why is he so interested and what the heck's going on there? It could be that some bitches just won't breed naturally. You know, they simply aren't going to tolerate it, or they'll only tolerate it with boys they like. So those things may be happening. But one thing you can do if when you have her with you or if she's close is to touch her vulva. So her vulva should be large, but it should be pillow soft. It shouldn't be what's known as turgid. It shouldn't feel like at the beginning of estrus, when you touch it, it feels like a balloon that's almost all the way blown up. So, you know, you can push in, but you can feel the rubber. Towards the end, when they are breedable, it feels like a pillow. It feels like you could put your hand on it and it is really, really soft. That softness is important both for the bitch's comfort and for the male to be able to enter. Mm-hmm. And so that is something that you can monitor just to see where she's at. But I think your best bet is going to be to get a real progesterone test. I'm sorry okay. that your vet did that. It's pretty uncool for a vet to use. I mean, hardly anybody uses these qualitative progesterone tests anymore because they just don't help us that much.
Right.
So I'm sorry that happened, but hopefully you can still rescue it. Your timing is still okay. And you can get that one test in and get some semen in there. And once you get semen in, you always sort of feel like you can, okay, now we can figure out what's going on. Okay. But at least we introduced the boys and the girls.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you.
Okay. Good luck. Let us know.
Thank you.
Hi, Carol.
Who is that?
Hi, it's Carol.
Hi, Carol. Hey, Carol.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Like good. Your shirt.
Yeah. It's getting a little worn. I have a question. I have a bitch that I bred. She's like 18 to 19 months old. I co-own her. And when the puppies were tested, she was tested out as needing confidence. She had, for some reason, and I didn't even notice it until we did the testing. But, you know, she was raised like all the other puppies who are very outgoing and whatever. So she's been with this other person since she was 8 weeks old. I have her now with me for a while. And she's not, this other person did not work on building her self-confidence at all. So she lays flat to the ground to make herself as small as possible. She has, peeing. Well, that's getting a little bit better with me. But she's a gorgeous girl. Our hopes were to show her and possibly breed her. So my question is, if I can get her confidence to improve, would this, if we get to that point and she does have puppies, would this pass on to the puppies? I don't know. I mean, I know, you know, I mean, she's from my lines, my breeding, my boys, my grand, you know, she's a grand puppy to Aiden. So I've never had this in any of the puppies before. So I'm hoping that we could get her through this, but I don't know. I mean, if not, I'm not going to breed her, I don't think.
Yeah, and don't feel like you did anything wrong. Don't feel like you missed anything. It happens. And it happens in the best of breeds. It happens in the best of lines. It happens from the best of breedings. It's kind of like kids, you know, why do you have one really outgoing kid and one kid that you can't get out into the living room, you know, or they can't make eye contact. It is simply something that happens. Unfortunately, it is a trait that often gets passed on. In fact, it gets passed on pretty strongly. And it especially does this in golden retrievers. Obviously it's an Aiden kid or grandkid. So I wouldn't rush to breed her.
If
you have a sister, that will probably be a better bet. And if she had left your house super, super confident, and she came back to you this way, then you could probably say that there was something that happened to her. But since you saw it in the test and it is now consistent at 18 months, so she's not quite an adult, but she's a young adult. She's sort of through all the puppiness and it's more likely her. It's just her wiring and who she is, unfortunately. It's always the gorgeous ones. It's always the ones with excellent hips, you know.
She is gorgeous.
But it's a rough trait for a dog. We know that it reduces their, we don't know it. It has a risk of reducing her longevity because they worry more. You know, they just go through life with more stress because life is stressful to them. And it sounds like you really are seeing, I mean, if she's on the ground,
when she's outside in the kennel and I go to bring her back in, she just lays down flat on the ground. When I get her out of her crate in the morning, she's flat on the ground.
Yeah. So I think I would focus on, take her off the breeding list. And instead I would focus on building her up so her life is better.
Yeah.
And then obviously trying to show her, which would be nice, whether or not you can breed her. If you want to put the money in, it's always nice to have a champion from a litter if you're going to breed a litter mate or something like that. But she herself will most likely pass this on.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, that's good to know, because I'm going to have a hard time convincing my co-owner about this, because, yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, is your co-owner her owner? She's got the two of you. Well, obviously you can do a quick read of the Golden Retriever standard, and she's just not meeting it. And
she's a breeder herself, you know.
I know, but we get biased, especially with those really beautiful dogs who are so gorgeous. And you're like, oh, you know, I tripped over when she was 9 weeks old, and that's why she is the way she is. And we want so badly for them to be what we had hoped for, and unfortunately hope does not make them that. So good luck with it. I do think it's important. And, you know, if you think about it, in a breed that where confidence is repeated in the standard, and this concept of friendliness and stability and all of that. And friendliness doesn't mean no aggression. It means having the ability to interact socially. You know, I would push her hard on it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I'm sorry. I hate giving that news, but it is a breed that should be very confident.
She's not dying. She's healthy. She's sweet and lovable. And if this other person doesn't want her after this, then I'll keep her and do what I can with her, you know.
You'll probably build her up.
Oh, absolutely. We've already made some progress, and she's only been here less than a week, so... Yeah.
Well, yeah. And maybe you can give some guidance to the other owner, you know, nicely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been there and done that before.
Yeah.
Oh, good luck with her.
Thank you. Thank you.
Colleen?
Yes, Gail.
Yes. My girl just came into season yesterday.
Yeah. I have a series of questions that I'm not prepared for because I thought I had another 6 weeks.
Oh, God, love those girls.
Yeah, I know. Love her to death. She's been totally consistent until this last time, of course, which will be her last breeding. Okay, so here's the deal. I'm actually going to start at the bottom. I have like a number of questions in the thing, and I'm going to start at the bottom and come back to the top. So for the past 2 months, she has been on house arrest because she broke her nail all the way back to her toe, leaving the quick exposed. We had to have surgery to make it, you know, proper, because it was hanging there. And anyway, took forever. She had to have 2 rounds of antibiotics. She's been off her feet basically for most of this time. We just started getting her moving around in a normal, let's go out, let's do some walks, let's say, last week, because it literally, you could see the quick above the nail still.
So gross.
I know, it was like, she's very stoic, so I didn't even know she'd broken her nail for 3 days. You know, I know when she did it because she bobbled when she was doing a retrieve, but then she trained for 3 more days on it with half of it broken off.
God,
the under half, so I couldn't see it. Went to do nails on the weekend. Went, what the heck? We wrapped it up. Vet said, you know, see if it heals. No, the top started to come loose. Anyway, so she's been on 2 rounds of antibiotics in the last 2 months and 2 rounds of pain meds in the last 2 months.
What pain meds?
Oh.
Tramadol and Rimadyl or one of the non-steroidal?
I think she was on Rimadyl.
Okay.
Pretty sure. 100% sure. Her coming into season yesterday just completely rattled me. I was like, what?
Okay.
So, should I be concerned about the fact that she's been on meds and we'll be breeding her within the next probably 10 to 14 days?
So don't worry about the pain meds. Just don't continue them. Sounds right. like she's off yeah, of she's them.
Off. Yeah.
Yeah. Off of them anyway. Off. Don't worry about those.
Okay.
The antibiotics are going to have an impact. It's going to have affected her microbiome, which affects the puppies, mm-hmm. but not enough that I would say don't breed her, because obviously we put pregnant bitches on antibiotics without problem. So mm-hmm. make sure she's on a good probiotic, maybe rotate a several mm-hmm. probiotics. So that, you know, each day she's getting another one, and see if you can get that microbiome built back up.
Okay. Yeah, I'm on, like I said, my brain is just absolutely fried.
You have a folic acid question? Folic
yeah, acid? I'm on the two supplements that you tell us to normally have them on, the two powders. So she's
on Balance and Genoflora. Good.
Yes. So she's already on those. Does she need more probiotics than that?
Yeah, I would probably maybe rotate between Fortiflora twice a week and Genoflora 5 days a week, just to give her body a variety of bacteria to choose from to kind of get everything reestablished if you can.
Okay, I can totally do that. And then...
she put some weight on. I'm going down through your questions.
Yeah.
She put some weight on. Okay, so... number one exercise you are going to do is rocket dog beg, where they're sitting on their haunches.
Okay.
Yep, exactly. Go through that in Fit to Be Tied. There's a rocket dog video. The most important thing on rocket dog is not that they can just sit there and beg, but that you can begin to move the treat
right.
so the that treat. They are using exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Number one exercise that you should be doing. Put flexibility exercises back yep. in as well. I would do some, you know, rear leg exercises are important. They are listed in Fit to Be Tied. Mm-hmm. So you can just go in and pick a few of them because two reasons, you know, you're not going to get her super strong before you breed her. Yeah. Are you breeding her naturally or?
TCI.
Oh, okay. So rear weight doesn't matter in that case. So, you know, she doesn't have to put the boy on her back and
right.
haul him around yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, right.
But she, you know, hopefully she has a nice sized litter. And so yeah. that core strength and that rear strength become very yeah. important for her to stay healthy during
yeah, basically that. This is the program I want to put her on for the next 5-6 weeks while. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. So Fit to Be Tied, you can go in. There's okay. trimester. There's what do you do while you breed? There's first trimester exercises. That might be a little overwhelming. So just go in and pick Rocket Dog and maybe two others. Start mm-hmm. on the flexibility. And then you're going to do a little bit less in the second trimester. And right. the third trimester, you're not going to do anything. Except for adventure walks and things like that, but and a little, you can do a little proprioception, but don't do any strength training in the third
right.
trimester.
Yeah, and you know, she was agility in field, and we were supposed to be going back into the field this weekend.
Hopefully, you weren't entered. I'm sorry. Of course.
Yes. Yes. So it was just, you know, she already has the title she was entered for. It was just to get her back into the cycle again of going to field trials, but that's okay.
It's all right. It's what and, it is. You know,
of course, I'm marshalling too. So this is awesome. I'll Oof. Be gone for 3 days this weekend. So I hope her progesterone comes back low enough that I don't have
to. I was just going to say, hopefully you're not breeding this weekend. That doesn't sound like you.
I wouldn't think so because she just started.
Most likely not.
But we ran over and got a prog just a minute. All right.
We good?
Do I need to worry about fertility with the antibiotic she's been on?
Do you know what antibiotic she's been on?
Can run away and come back and tell you.
Okay, why don't you do that? Put it in the chat. Usually not. Typically not. Maybe we can put them on pretty high-end antibiotics, Baycox and things like that while they're pregnant, and that's mm-hmm. not a problem. So most likely she's fine. Just don't continue them, obviously. That's right. That's the most important thing.
All right.
Good and luck. Let us know.
One more, please. Oh, one question.
One more.
The first question.
Folic acid.
Right, because she's on... the Jennifer, she's on the
Probalance
and the I believe I have Fortiflora I think she's on those two.
Give her folic acid. Give her folic acid. Just go to the pharmacy, get some folic acid.
How much for, which she should be a 5-pound.
How, so folic acid, interestingly, is not weight-based dosing. So has she had any cleft palates in her past litters?
One, because, and we don't think it was due to diet, because she had a spinach every day of her pregnancy. We're a raw feeder, but it was, we're in California, and she was pregnant and in lockdown for breeding and for the pregnancy during all of the California fires. Yeah. And so the environment is horribly toxic.
Yeah. I would still put her on it because you don't know. You know, the thing is, we don't know. Yeah. So folic acid is cheap and easy to give, and too much of it isn't going to hurt anybody. So with a golden retriever, not a breed that's known for cleft palates, I would give between 1 and 5 milligrams, not micrograms, milligrams per day. I would break it into at least 2 if you can, because it can cause them a little bit of nausea. Maybe start with 1, see how she does. And so, I mean, you could give, the way I always tell people, so it's really easy to get the 400s. Those are the easiest to get. So on one day, give her 3, that'll be 1200. And on the next day, give her 2, that's 800. And just go back and forth that way. And it'll average out to be 1 milligram.
I did not understand that at all. 3 and 2.
So go get 400 microgram folic acid from the pharmacy.
Okay.
Not from the pharmacy, from CVS. Yeah. You know, they're so easy to get. Yep. And Monday, Wednesday, Friday, give her 3 tablets, capsules. And on Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, give her 2. And that'll average out to 1 milligram. It saves you having to go order folic acid. Okay. Yeah. Make sense?
You have brought me back to a state of
planning. It's going to be a great litter.
Yes, it is. We're breeding her to Marcy's Nike.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Terrific. Oh, fabulous. Okay. Yeah. Let us know how it goes.
I'm going to
Yay. Cindy Sturpis. I'm breeding my girl, yay. I want to remind her how careful I need to be with my other 3 dogs during gestation period to prevent fear of disease transition. Careful. You know, we can go years and years and years not being careful and taking dogs to shows and not isolating them, and nothing happens. And then suddenly something comes in. So I'm trying to think, who was it? Is it somebody on the call whose dog got that bizarre virus, brought it back from a show, and it ended up in all of the dogs, including the dam, and it was quite a significant illness. And that's always our risk. Our risk really isn't bringing parvo back, although, you know, we can get it on the property. But if our dogs are properly vaccinated, that's not going to be a problem. It's going to be things like a serious case of the canine flu, another upper respiratory infection, typically not kennel cough, but one of the, you know, there's 20 different things that cause kennel cough, or a GI upset. So you have to kind of make your own decision on how much biosecurity you want to implement. But more is never going to hurt anything except your dog's training and your social life. And less, you might luck out if you don't do much, and you might not. And so you have to kind of make your own decision on that. But it is always risky to take dogs away from your property and bring them back when you have a bitch that is pregnant. It's just always risky. Is that helpful, Cindy? I see you on there, but I can't unmute you. Okay.
Can I jump in? My question was right at the same time as hers and very similar.
Hey, Sylvia.
So I've got puppies. Then that's the thing. Trying to get dogs titled and, you know, go to hunt tests and shows and everything else. It's been a nightmare. And we've got shows down here. We're one of the few places that has them. So, for example, if we go to a hunt test, you bring those dogs back, do they need to go into isolation, or is bathing them when you get home, how effective is that? I mean, what, before they come into the house, I guess that's the big quandary. Do we just shut down life the whole time we have puppies, or what can be done to still be able to progress your other dogs?
Yeah, it is really tough. And as I said, you know, you have to make that balance. Hunt tests, I think, are some of the safest events. Hunt tests and tracking tests are some of the safest events we can possibly do because the dogs never congregate. You know, you're always a blind apart from somebody. You don't have even a...
But they put the same ducks in their mouth.
Yeah, but I don't know that, is it possible that the saliva gets transferred? Sure, but it's nothing like hanging out outside a confirmation ring waiting to go into open dog or something like that. You know, that's going to be where we see a lot of disease transfer. Indoor obedience trials, agility trials while everybody's waiting at the gate, things like that. Crated together. So, are you always balancing risks? Yes, you are. And you got to make your own personal decision on how much risk you're willing to take. What I would say, depending upon how your house is set up, is if you can bring those dogs back from a hunt test and keep them separated from your bitch for 24 to 36 hours. That would be probably your safest bet if you're going to continue to compete. Because if they're bringing diarrhea back, you're probably going to see it at 36 hours. If they're bringing an upper respiratory virus back, you're probably going to see it at 36 hours. Now, you're not going to see it typically at 12 hours because it takes a while for them to actually get sick.
Up in Houston a couple of years ago and brought back, and it took 10 days. And by that time, we'd gone to another show, and then it went through our entire household and kennel.
You know, those experiences can drive you to say, I'm not going anywhere. Safest is not going anywhere. But does it make it really difficult for us that it's finally springtime and we're finally able to, you know, and COVID is ending and we're having competitions again and we've got all these dogs that have been waiting. And so when I think about sort of that spring COVID ending, my primary fear is that people are going to show no matter what, whether their dog is sick or not, they are gonna show. People have been chomping at the bit for 14 months now, 13 months now, and they are gonna hit it. So stay away from other dogs. Keep your dogs away from other dogs. Don't go pet your friends' dogs. Do your best to keep a distance from them. Bathe your dog when you get home. If you can keep them apart, 36 hours is probably gonna be your. It's not your best bet because obviously the 10-day viruses show up, but it's going to give you an idea. At all helpful?
Yes, thank you.
I know. I wish I had some magic wand, but not on that one. Okay, Kimberly. I saw you. There you are. I'm going to be trying to breed my 3.5-year-old border collie. We attempted breeding in November with progesterone, timing, and chilled semen, but it was a miss. Stud dogs in Miami, you're in Pennsylvania. Any tips for taking your bitch on the road for the next cycle in May? So you should have, are you doing a natural?
We hope.
Is it the same stud dog? Yeah.
She's a maiden bitch, so this could be just a sightseeing tour with a side-by-side AI. I don't know.
Yeah. You know, you always have the backup of an AI. We always can hope for a natural, but I used to be really rigid, you know, I'm not going to do AIs. And finally, I'm like, well, that's stupid. I just drove to Texas. We're from New York. We're going to do an AI.
Exactly.
So you won't need to leave until you've got ovulation.
Okay.
So she's somewhere between 4 and 8 and obviously posted on the list, and we'll look for the proper rise. And then I'm assuming it's 2 days to Florida, Miami.
Miami.
Okay, yeah. 2+ days to Florida. You'll arrive right as the egg. So remember, ovulation, 2 days to ripe egg. So there's no real reason to breed prior to the end of those that 48-hour period. And then you have 3 to 4 days. Okay. And so you've got time to get there. You've got time to let them try and do it naturally. You've got time to say, okay, we're not doing it naturally. We're going to do an AI. And I'll tell you, try and follow. Are you on the Facebook page? Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
Aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So try and follow the breedings, because what you'll see is that once we begin to see the rise, everybody gets really anxious. And they're rushing. They're like, oh my God, I'm going to miss it. When in reality, you think about it, it's LH plus 6 days is the most fertile day. That's a really long time. And so we typically have time. When do you run into problems? You've got a 4-day drive. You know, you're going New York to California or California to Miami or something like that. But even though you have to go down 81 or 95, which are miserable drives, I've done it for breedings, you can get there in 2.5 days. Do you have somebody to drive with you?
The co-owner is willing to drive with me or my husband, but that puts into what are we doing with the other 7 dogs. So ideally,
go for the co-owner.
Stays home, yeah. And I go with the co-breeder or the co-owner, and we make it a girls' trip to Miami in May, which probably wouldn't be so bad.
No, I think it would be actually a lot of fun. And if you can just breathe in that timing, that we don't have to race, we don't have to do 90 down I-81, you know, we have the time to do it because we've timed well. Can you do, I'm going to push you on this one, can you do vaginal cytology?
I can.
So now you'll give yourself a heads up and you'll be able to look at it and say, okay, she's at 80% today. Most likely, if she read the book, we're going to be thinking about breeding around these days. So now you've got time to plan your trip, et cetera.
That sounds so refreshing, but I think I need some Xanax because.
I know. Think of how nice the trip home will be.
Hopefully, but then you've got the 28 days or so to see if it actually took this time. And
I mean, just wait in the world.
She's 3.5. She's a beautiful bitch. And, you know, the pedigree is perfect. That's the only reason that I would even consider driving down to Miami is the pedigree match is phenomenal. And I mean, we were all destroyed that it didn't take, but he's never sired a litter. This is his first. He's just 2 years old. And so when we tried to do a post-mortem and see why, probably a bad word, but to see why it didn't take, there was a lot of factors that we were trying to consider. We knocked out timing because according to the repro vet, our timing was perfect. The only thing that I can see that we didn't do was a progesterone on the day of the second TCI, which may have given us a little bit more information. And they also didn't do an analysis of the semen once it was received before it was put in.
Who are you using in Pennsylvania?
Not Pleasant Valley. They were not taking new. So I went to
who else is
Country Critters.
Yes.
Which Pleasant Valley recommended.
Yeah, not quite as good as Mary and Deb, though.
I know, but I mean, people are even asking me now, like, other than Pleasant Valley, where can we go? What did you use for your bitch? There's not enough repro vets in this area.
There are not enough repro vets anywhere. There really are not.
But I should have somebody in mind in Miami as well, in case we need to do
absolutely.
So I need to absolutely that.
Post on the list. Get some recommendations in Southern Florida because you may need progesterone and you may need an AI.
Okay. Yep, that's the other planning that I need to do.
Absolutely, it's worth having. You may not need it, but better to have it.
Fingers crossed.
Good luck. Fingers crossed.
Timing for everything.
Colleen, I already think I got all those. Jean, Diver, what is the term for the type of progesterone test I need to use? So, Jean, you want a qualitative progesterone test. I'm looking to see if I see you on here. You can unmute if you want. So I'll type it in the chat. It is not a manufacturer. It's called a qualitative progesterone test. It can be done by IDEX. It can be done in-house. Antech does it, but theirs isn't known to be as good as IDEX. So you want the test that gives you a number as opposed to a test strip, which changes colors. The test strips were all we had for many, many, many years, but they are nowhere near as good as a qualitative test. A couple of other things, Jean, is ideally you use the same lab throughout, if possible. So if you start with IDEX, ideally you use IDEX the whole time. That isn't always possible. Sometimes we have to go between an in-house test and a lab test. So IDEX is sent out. In-house tests are in the vet has them. Your vet will have them. But we can do some translations between them if needed, but it is ideal if it's the same lab. Is that helpful, Jean? I'm assuming you can hear me. I can't see you or hear you. Okay, well, jump on if that wasn't clear. Holly, I see Holly about for your folic acid. 2 400s AM and PM is definitely not too much if her stomach can handle it. Is she fine? Yeah, that's great. You can go up to 5 milligrams, which is a lot. Yeah, it isn't weight-based. So even at 120, that's fine, oddly enough.
Gail, could I jump in?
Yeah.
This is Sherry.
Hey, Sherry, there you are. Hi.
Yeah, my first time here.
Yay, so glad to have you.
Thank you. I posted my question in the chat. I also posted it on the Facebook group. I received one answer, but I just need a little bit more explanation.
I haven't been on much today, so I may have missed it. I was going to jump on tonight.
Well, I posted it a few days ago.
Oh, no. Sorry.
That's okay. I just emailed you the file. So the file that I have is tracking heat cycles.
Yeah.
And my girl, so the last two pregnancies we missed. She has had 2 litters prior to that. And then I noticed, because I just joined Avid Dog like a month ago. So I'm trying to like plug in all of my numbers into everything and really just take advantage of all the resources here. But when I put it on the spreadsheet and I look at it, I'm seeing my last two breedings, her days since last heat were a lot lower than the previous two.
Yeah. The 186, so I just opened Sherry's spreadsheet, and So she's tracking how many days since the last heat. And for a while, her girl was 214, 215 days, which is, you know, nice and normal. Then she went to 186, not necessarily problematic. Then she went to 143. And 143 is beginning to push the short cycling. And when a bitch short cycles, the uterus doesn't have time to recover between cycles. And so your chance of pregnancy goes way down because the endometrial lining just isn't hospitable at that point to the embryos to implant. Short cycling can be perfectly normal. You know, bitches vary just a huge amount. And as soon as we see that 214 and that 215, we're like, oh, she's completely regular and it's going to be like this forever. Yeah, it hardly ever is that way forever. So bitches vary as much within their lifetime as they do between each other. And we just have to expect that. Stopping the short cycling, God, we used to have a drug that can do that. And I'm not sure we have anything anymore.
143. I had another female come into her first season about 5 days before this particular female went in. And we all just live in my house together. So I think that was it, you know, it's just follow the leader at that point. But, you know, the 186, the time before that, the other female had not cycled yet. So I'm not sure why that one was shortened.
That may just be her normal development over time. Okay. It's a month earlier, not a huge amount for a bitch. Okay. What we'd like to avoid is more 140s. 120, 140, we would like it to be longer. So there's not much you can do except send your other bitch away, which obviously is just usually completely impractical. They do tend to cycle together. So hopefully your other bitch, your younger bitch, will be a longer cycler and will pull this bitch a little bit later. Obviously, I can't see your timing. I can't see the timing that you did. So you had two successful breedings and then two misses. And, you know, we have to remember it's usually 40% fertility. Well, it's almost always timing. And then there might be some issues of fertility in the bitch, some issues of fertility in the sire. And then very rarely it's the combination of the two. For some reason, those dogs don't nick. But it's timing is huge. Timing is just, so the way we're happy to look at your timing if you've got it. Did you do progesterone testing for the two litters? So that, you know, I know progesterone testing is expensive.
I'm not missing it.
That's it. People are like, oh, you know, I just can't afford it. I'm like, well, you know, here's the option. Don't get a litter. Or put the money into progesterone testing. If you're going to progesterone test, I was going to say, if you're not going to progesterone test, you want to do vaginal cytology. Kind of important. Doing them both is great. It's ideal. But if you can only do vaginal cytology, then that at least tells you what's going on in the cycle. And you can also, if you've got the microscope, you can also collect the male and take a look and make sure there's boys swimming in the right direction in there, which is really nice to know. So hard to know whether it was the timing. The second miss, I would say, is probably the cycle. So hopefully they'll come in a little bit later. But really, anything past 150 to 160 is fine.
Okay.
They can be perfectly fertile with that.
Okay, that's good to know. Now, the second part of this issue is I did have a vaginal culture done of her. I had blood work done at the same time. The vet that I'm using said he will do a vaginal cytology when he pulls progesterone this next time around. But if she's anything less, I think he said anything less than 180, he told me to save my money because chances are she wouldn't be fertile just based from her previous. But it's good to hear you say 150, 160 is still okay. So I will track that. But her vaginal culture came back with a bacillus bacteria. And he said, the vet that I'm working with said that that should not impede fertility whatsoever. And he would not treat it at this point. And everything else seemed normal.
Did you have the culture done? Do you know if she was a 3+ on the bacillus? Do you know how heavy? No. So if you have the culture sheet, post it.
It was a phone call.
Yeah. So vaginas are not sterile places. They have all kinds of things growing in there. There's usually just a few bacteria that are represented at a very high level that can impact fertility. But there's all kinds of stuff going on that is beneficial. And so I appreciate your vet saying, oh, we're not just going to slap her on antibiotics because, you know, now you reduce all the good stuff. And anytime you take away the good guys, you open the door for the bad guys. You know, you're allowing. So that balance, you can have a few bad guys and the good guys are beating them out. That's a normal vaginal culture. So you could ask him or ask her, wherever your vet is, for a copy of the culture just because you want it in her records, which would be fine. And then you can post it and we can take a look at the, it's not just the types of bacteria, but the level, what they found in that bacteria. So that would be fine. But I would not put her on antibiotics without a really strong reason.
Good. Thank you.
Good luck. Glad to have you. Okay. Where are we? Colleen did put in some good ideas on trialing clothes, shoes, showering, things like that. All always good ideas. Barb.
All right. I followed the protocol for worming as I always do. And oddly enough, I did have a window between the negative fecal, I think it was 2 days, and sending the puppies home. And lo and behold, 3 days after they get home, I have Giardia, which no vet has ever said I have had. That doesn't mean I haven't. It maybe could be that they just never cultured it or whatever they do, just they send it away. So I was thankful that, you know, a puppy got in early. I sent an email out to everybody saying Panicure, Fembendazole. Everybody took their dogs to the vet. 6 of the 8 have been diagnosed with it. Mine, I just started treating. Now, we all treated for 5 days with either Panicure, Fembendazole. Some did Panicure and Metronidazole because that's what their vet was. But we were getting an influx of don't treat again, don't test again, don't. And I'm just going, everyone just calm down here. My vet hasn't even gotten back to me. She just goes, I'll see you on Friday. And I'm just like, well, no, I need to tell these people, you know. And of all the webinars to miss was the one on poop. I woke up in the middle of like, oh my God, you didn't watch the poop one yet. So anyway, regardless, does it matter whether it was Fembendazole or Panicure? We all
that
did 5 days.
Doesn't matter.
Okay, so we did 5 days. Then wait. Do you recommend waiting?
Yep. You can wait and test 5 days, 3 days, not long.
wait 3 to 5 days.
And then treat 10 days.
Treat 10 days. Should we have all treated 10 days?
So Giardia is getting stronger and stronger and stronger and becoming more difficult for us to clear. And so 5 to 10 days is now the recommended. Now, if it clears in 5 days and the pups are fine, that's great.
So some then, people are saying they have loose stools. And I stopped treating mine. He didn't get a treatment yesterday, so that would have been day 6. Can I go right back into the treatment?
You can. Yep. Yep. Okay. You have it at home. You can just go ahead and treat it.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Okay. And
so treat for 10 days.
Treat for 10 days.
All right. There we go.
Yep. And Barb, most likely you have Giardia on your property.
Yeah,
you have enough water. And so, you know, Giardia is carried in water. And so it's really, really common. But it's only if the puppy's immune system or the dog's immune system can't fight it off. And often they can. And often you'll take your perfectly healthy dog in and it'll have Giardia, but it doesn't have the disease. It doesn't have Giardiosis. It just has Giardia in its stool. So you're 5 of 8 who showed no signs were probably battling the Giardia themselves and keeping it at bay. Giardia cysts don't always show up on fecals. It's not at all uncommon to do a Giardia test and not see it. And I'm assuming they just did a fecal on the puppies. They're not going to go off and do a PCR when you do a litter check.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, well, they shouldn't. I don't ask for one.
Oh, you don't ask for one. Okay.
No, I just say do a fecal, you know, check the stool. They're looking for eggs. But the eggs, you know, the creature, worm or bacteria or, you know, paramecium, whatever the heck they are, has to be at the right point in its life cycle when you get that stool for them to actually be able to see it. So there, we don't have any fecals that are 100%. And chances are your puppies were not stressed at your place. And then they hit the road.
And hit the road and then they're like, oh, you know.
Exactly. It doesn't matter how confident the puppy is. It's still a huge stressor to leave your mother, leave your litter mates, leave all the people you know and go somewhere else. And so that's when we're going to see issues. So, you know, if the puppies are fine in three to five days, then, you know, the owners can probably just, you know, move on if they've got a negative fecal. But if it comes back, then I would push to treat longer than the 5 days.
Okay, but
with yours,
you treat it, right?
Yeah, it's best to do.
Yeah, that's
a
what
treatment. I 3 weeks later, a second treatment is usually ideal because at that point, the Giardia has gone through its life cycle and is going to show back up again. That recurrent diarrhea that you talk to people where, you know, they're constantly there, they finish the antibiotics and their puppy's fine and it starts again. It's often coccidia and or Giardia that sort of follow this life cycle.
So the one thing I'd said to wait 3 or 5 days and treat again, not 3 weeks.
So if they vet won't give them the meds, if diarrhea shows up within that 3 week period, demand treatment and go for 10 days.
All right. But otherwise treat a second time, 3 to 5 days later.
Yep.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. Nobody's in a panic yet or anything like that. Oh, they just are reporting now. Stools are getting soft again and stuff.
Giardia is a tough bug to beat. And obviously probiotics, low stress, you know, all the things to try and build up the immune system. And I'll bet your dogs have it because you just have
lightning. You're right. That's what I thought. I've had it all along. I'm pretty sure.
You've had it all along and this one happened to break. Absolutely. But that means, Barb, you're going to treat as you're sending your puppies home. You're going to
treat them 3 days right before. Bam,
oh, but you're going to do it through that and you're going to send them home with some fenbendazole.
Oh, okay.
to cover that stress period, like 3 days. Okay. So do it 2 days before you send them home and 3 days after.
Okay. I have some input on that, having being lucky enough to have both Giardia and Coccidia on the property, but we don't have fleas and we don't have ticks. Yeah, I don't know. This last litter, what I did was I sent everybody home. I dosed right before, which I think I used the Tolt as my last one, because I do kind of Coccidia every too. Other week, because I go from one to the other. Then I sent them home with both. I, you know, calculated on, actually I gave them little bottles of the fenbendazole and sent them home with syringes and said, this is how much you have to dose, you know, gave them the dosing and examples. And I also sent them home with Tolt. And, you know, I didn't feel like here I am prescribing meds, because they can buy them themselves. Right.
They're both over the counter. It is perfectly legal to do that.
And then I also tell all of them that they need to stay on the Fortiflora, which they've been on daily. They need to stay on it for a month, you know. And this time, something different that I did as well. I sent them home. They each bought foods from me that I'm feeding the puppies, right? So I have a breeder account for their kibble. And so I just had everybody pay what I paid. Sent them home with both the raw and the kibble, all the kibbles that I rotate through, about little bags and stuff. So everybody was happy to pay me $110 for food, and they had enough food for 2.5 months or something.
Oh,
and
that's great.
They didn't make any change in what they were doing, so it didn't stress out the puppies. And I didn't hear this time of anybody having diarrhea.
The no. ever-present conversation. So there you go, Barb. There's a good plan, and it is legal. You cannot send the puppies home with metronidazole. That's illegal. But yep. You can set the puppies home with Panacur. You can send them home with Tolturazole. You can send them home with those over-the-counter wormers legally. You are not practicing vet medicine without a license, et cetera. And giving them enough to get over that hump of those first three transition days can be really beneficial for puppies. Sounds good. Lynn Crossman, are you still there? Trading Males.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good.
Did you send me this question, Lynn?
Yes.
Yes. I'm sorry I didn't get to it.
Evolving.
Well, good. Okay. I'm glad I didn't answer it.
First thing was, you know, I was looking for a new male for my younger girls, and I hadn't found one. And I was like, they're going to be ready for breeding in the next few months, and I can't find a male. Or the males just, I don't know. I tried looking some in the States, but some people are not wanting to go over the border, and I can't go over the border right now. So anyways, all this fun. So I had somebody on my puppy waiting list, and she wanted a puppy from me, and she emailed me a few days ago, and she said, well, are you going to have puppies? And I said, well, I have one litter on the way due in April, and then I have my three other girls I want to get bred, but one breed and one and two I can't because I don't have a male. And she said, well, she has a male that's too closely related to her females, so she wanted to know if I would trade males for a month. Now she sent me another email, and she asked me if I would take her two girls for a month, breed them to my male, and also I could use her male for my girls.
You would take your girls to her male?
No, she would bring her male to me.
And the two bitches?
And the two females. I think the thing is, she doesn't know how to breed very well. Because one, she had to AI. And I've never had to AI, because I've always been able to breed naturally. so far. Anyways.
I'm knocking on wood. So question
is, what kind of contract would I have for that? And
yeah,
I think they're all going to come in heat around the same time.
Well, that'll just be as exciting as can be. So
they'll probably come in heat and be ready between May 23rd and May 29th, because that's my busiest week in May.
There you go. That'll be it. Don't tell them that. Do not let them hear that you say that. So do you have a good enough setup to have sort of two separate harems and two separate males that will safely, you know, nobody's going to let the wrong dog out in the wrong yard, et cetera?
I think so. I need to fix one fence, but I think I can have everything ready by then, because it will be in May or June.
Yeah. And do you have family members that help? Because if you do, mark those dogs well so that nobody ends up in the wrong place.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're taking someone else's bitch. You don't want her bred to her dog.
Right.
Accidentally. So it will be a pretty wild ride. You absolutely need a contract. You probably need two contracts. So I would have a stud contract with her for the breeding of your two girls. And it looks just like a stud contract, exactly like everything, every other stud contract we do, and where it says, you know, the amount of money it's going to be. Is it zero? So say your boy can't breed her two bitches, or something happens and she can't bring her two bitches over. Do you owe her money? Is there a monetary value if your girls don't? I mean, if your boy doesn't breed her two dogs, have you guys talked about that?
I haven't talked to her. I've just been emailing her. It's been every time I go to call her, it's too late at night. So I'm going to try and.
So think about the worst case scenario and decide if there is monetary value that will be owed if one half of the deal doesn't work. Okay. And, you know, because you want to make sure you know that even if you aren't able to take her two girls, and I can't think of why, but just, you know, imagine for some reason a bridge falls down between your two houses or whatever, but you're able to breed her dog to your two bitches, will you owe her a stud fee? Will she take a puppy? If the answer is no, then you're just going to have a zero value in the stud fee, but you're going to have the same contract, care of the bitch, how long the bitches are going to be there, you know, what she's responsible. Is she responsible for progesterone testing? Is she responsible for any vet care? Everything we have in a stud contract should be in your stud contract. It's just that the monetary value of this is going to be zero or whatever you guys decide.
Okay.
And then you're going to have a contract for taking her two bitches.
Okay.
So you're going to have a contract for her stud dog coming to you, care of the stud dog, who's responsible for vet bills, who makes the decisions about him, who makes the decisions on the breeding, and you're going to have the exact same thing on her girls. Do you have, what is the type of insurance? Who has insurance on dogs that they take in? I'm trying to think of what the name of that. There's a very specific type of insurance for when you take dogs into your home that insures you against the loss of those dogs. I'll track down the name of it and send it to you, because it may be something you're going to have three valuable dogs owned by somebody else, and it's a big responsibility, and you want to make sure that you're protected and that you've laid out what you'll do and what you won't do. Mm-hmm. So it's a pretty complicated, I mean, it sounds like it's just a swap, but in reality it's pretty complicated, and you're responsible for everything. Like, what happens if neither of her bitches get pregnant? you know, does she get a repeat? Does she get to ship them back to your house? So think that, go through a stud contract and think about everything except for the money. But think about all the responsibilities that are laid out in it.
Okay.
And there's one in the stud dog course.
The other thing she asked is if I would take, she has one puppy on the ground that's 5 weeks old. When it's old enough, she's wondering if I would take that as a deposit because she wants a puppy from my girl that's due in April.
So I would separate that out as a purchase. My goodness, Lynn.
See why I need to call her?
Yeah, you need to call her. You need to call her. And this sounds really awful, but think through everything that can go wrong, because those are the issues we have. You know, no puppies, or all the puppies die, or, you know, somebody needs a C-section, somebody needs a TCI. Just think through, like, if my male can't breed her two bitches, we are not doing an AI. We are not going to do artificial inseminations. And I know you've had good success, but it can happen. And you want to have laid out, I'm not going to go do it, pay for a TCI just because I said I was breeding your bitches.
Mm-hmm.
Make sense?
Yeah.
And I'll find that insurance for you.
Okay.
Okay. Good luck with it. That's crazy. I don't envy you. Okay. Holly. Getting people into puppy college between 3:31. I'm working on that, and I might have some more information later today, sort of how we can do that. Right now, the option is vouchers, where you can purchase them now, but you have to kind of know the number. And then you can add it onto the price of the puppy, or if you were gonna embed it in the price, or you can charge your buyers for it, et cetera. So the vouchers are still $75 for the $150 puppy college. So they're half price if you wanna buy them. And then I'm talking to my tech guys later to see if there's a way, just how we can do this and what we can do. But that's the current option, is to do those vouchers. And Mace, you can buy them on the site, but you can also just email Macy and she'll help you. And Macy helps everything.
Yeah, I'll email Macy.
Okay.
Did you see I had a question before that about a quick check-in on my singleton due?
Oh yeah, no, I did see it and I missed it. Go ahead.
So nothing super specific, but I've got Miss Alta sleeping behind me. She's going to have a planned C-section on Friday, which is the first day of her whelping window.
Okay. First day of a 3-day whelping window or a 5? 3. Okay. Good.
I'm bidiestrous and it was a frozen semen. So actually we verified LH and did progesterone and everything.
Terrific.
So day one of the whelping window, she's already nesting a little bit. I don't normally see that this early, but I figured it's no big deal.
Friday as in 2 days from now?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a small 500 in here for my smaller dog that doesn't tolerate a wire crate. And she started getting in her 500 either yesterday or the day before. She started going in there and getting herself in. I was like, I'm in the 500. I'm like, why?
Great. I'm whelping in here. Did you not know that? Are you taking your temp?
I haven't been. And it's because I'm kind of a little worried that I might be not doing everything I'm supposed to be doing because I know I'm having a C-section, so I could start temping her today.
So the benefit of temping, you know, like if you take it this afternoon and it's 97, mm-hmm. you might want to move that C-section up a little.
Oh, okay.
If you know you're seeing the nesting, you do have a good whelping window. You've got it really solidly predicted, but it's really just nice to confirm with a temp.
Okay. I won't be able to do progesterone on the day of the C-section. We talked about that before because he doesn't have reliable and we don't have anything that comes in faster than 2 days, really.
I don't think it'll really matter when you've got such a tight whelping window. It really doesn't, because honestly, progesterone towards the end can drop so quickly that, you know, she can be five and she really would have whelped the next morning and she would have been two by then.
Yeah.
So it's more when we don't have that nice narrow whelping window that we're trying to get that timing right. Exactly. Yeah. Or we're looking at her and saying, she's going into labor early, not your bitch, but say another bitch. And we're not sure if she's actually in labor. And then you pull the progesterone and she's at 1.8 and you're like, oh yeah, she's in labor. Yeah. Okay.
And then she, I'm really happy. This is her second litter. I'm really happy to see that she has some colostrum already.
Great. Because
I'm worried with the one puppy, you know, that he's not going to get it. And I was kind of wondering, like, how much volume of colostrum do our little guys need to get what they need? Is it a drop? Is it five drops? Is it a lot? Like, how much does he need to get in
him? Yeah. Gosh, if we had that information, it would be so nice. Okay. But we don't. So he needs to nurse more than a drop. He needs more than a drop. He needs more than five drops. He needs to nurse on her for 45 minutes, an hour, out of that first 4 hours.
Yeah.
And for me with C-sections, the easiest time to do that is usually while the bitch is recovering. So she's still asleep and we're all just on the floor getting the puppy to nurse, because now we don't have to worry about the bitch. You know, we don't have to manage her. We don't have to worry about her waking up or feeling uncomfortable. She's snoring away, happy as could be. And the puppy's getting a good dose of colostrum. So we, on our last C-section, we did that with the puppies. They probably 45 minutes they nursed. We had a 3-hour drive home. And so we stopped twice on the way for 10 minutes of nursing. You know, they tend to nurse for 10 minutes and then fall asleep. And so that's how we did it. And I felt like they had gotten enough, and we didn't get home until 8 hours after the C-section, or maybe even a little bit more. So by then it was over. So if you can get that good 45 minutes in and then a couple more times during the 4 hours, that would be ideal.
If I was having four puppies, I wouldn't be worried at all. And this might be an overbuildup of worry, but my concern is that the one little dude nursing isn't gonna get anything, even if he works on it for a long time. Should I be, so when I'm not having to do with colostrum or the first 4 hours, but just in general, I'll weigh my pups, I'll have mom eliminate them, I'll weigh them, and then I'll put them on for a nursing session. And then after a nursing session, I'll weigh them again. And I won't do that like every nursing all day long, but I'll do it periodically so that I make sure that I know what each of them did. Because sometimes you have a weak puppy and the other pups gained 10 grams during the nursing and that puppy gained exactly zero. And you're like, oh, I'm tube feeding that puppy. So with this little guy, I don't want to be like over stressing and, you know, should I weigh him and then see if he gains something from this colostrum nursing to try to get an idea if he's getting it?
Yeah, you can. Absolutely. There is no harm in that. The thing with colostrum is, I think I describe it as a free lunch. So the milk doesn't have to let down for puppies to get colostrum. Colostrum's pretty much a free lunch. So we don't have to do a huge amount of stimulation like we do later once the milk comes in. Then they have to work so hard. And that's when you see them really start into the kneading and the head pulling back and you start seeing all that effort. But that isn't required with colostrum, interestingly enough. I can't tell you why.
Is different.
It could be, but you know, the letdown reflex is a reflex in the bitch's body that just isn't part of colostrum, but it is a part of milk. And so initially just check to make sure there's colostrum. Don't do it now, you know, because it can trigger labor, but do it once he's there. And, you know, you can gently strip a little and put him on so you know that there's colostrum coming out. Where you may need to assist more is once the milk comes in, because that cycle of what triggers the letdown reflex is part of it the bitch's stress, part of it contact with the puppy, but part of it is manipulation of the mammary glands. And with only one puppy, sometimes they'll work and work and work and the milk will literally never let down. So you can stimulate the other nipples. You can just do it with two hands and roll them between your fingers, and that will often be enough for milk letdown.
So I will. I've had two singletons before, no milk drop down. I tube fed them for a couple days until they could join another litter.
Yeah, it can be a real problem with a single puppy unless it's really hefty and the bitch's milk letdown reflex is very, very easy. But often you've, even with our two, we had to do some manipulation initially.
If anybody listening has a litter due this week, please let me know.
Let Holly know.
Puppy will travel.
I know. Those singletons are killers. Oh. Okay. Good. Good luck. Let us know how it goes. We want pictures.
For sure.
Juliet asks, do certain antibiotics cause damage to sperm? Yes, some do. Doxy does not, doxycycline. But some antibiotics do. If you have it, Juliet, posted on the Facebook group. I can't tell you right off the top of my head. I'd have to go look it up if you tell me the name of the antibiotic. Daryl says, is the number of days of a cycle from when I first noticed discharge? Yes. So cycles are from first day of discharge to the next day of discharge, whether it's 9 months, 12 months, 6 months. Onset of heat to onset of heat is how we measure it.
So I heard you say that a short cycle was something less than about 200 days, so 7 months, basically.
No. Sorry, hopefully that wasn't what I said. So 4 to 4.5 months, anything at that point or less is short cycling. Okay. And so that's going to be 160, 175, somewhere in there. So typically at 160 or less, they are not going to be as fertile. They likely aren't going to get pregnant.
Okay.
But 200 is great. 180 is perfectly fine. Nice 6 month cycle. That's, they say it's average in dogs, but I've never had a dog that does that. You know, a lot of it, smaller bitches, toy bitches tend to cycle more frequently. Large bitches often cycle less. So, but anything 5 months and over is fine.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Sure. Lynn asks, what was the thing to do to increase my male sperm? Glycoflex. I'll type it in the chat. Glycoflex is good at the actual breeding, letting him sniff bitch urine. I won't type that in the chat. That sounds really gross. But letting him sniff the urine, let him spend some time with it, let him lick it, and then put him away for 3 or 4 hours. That will optimize ejaculates. DHA, so fish oil, good diet, low stress.
Glycoflex is a manufacturer kind of back order or
no.
Yes.
No. You know
that Celeste bought it all out after she heard about it. I have to tell her that I forgot. actually, since COVID, they've been having trouble getting in those nice little green lip muscles to make it from New Zealand. So they've been having trouble getting them in. And I did talk to them a couple of weeks ago because I have all 10 on it. Well, 9. I don't have the puppy on. And so I go through a lot of it and stuff. So it's been difficult. I'm thinking 1-800 Pet Meds has it, and they were supposed to be getting in
their ingredient to make it like on March 12th. So it should be coming back in stock.
Oh, the things we never dreamed.
You should see my cabinet. It's like I bought everything that I could find because I'm like, well, oh,
I know. While
talking, one other question on the puppy college. Do you anticipate it being back available in, like, say, by October, November?
I do.
Okay. Because that should be a litter going home by then. So
I do. I think we're just going to have a couple months that are a bit on the odd side.
Okay, cool.
Holly makes a really good point, Lynn, that I think is super important. And that is proving which male bred which bitch. And you could do it with DNA testing, and DNA testing can be pretty inexpensive through some of the livestock companies. But you could also video each tie. And if the bitches are identifiable by looking at them, so you could show the tie for each bitch just to make sure that she's comfortable, the right dog is getting the right bitch breeding.
I actually was going to do that anyways, because I keep getting these new breeders that don't know what they're doing.
Absolutely. No, it's a great idea.
And I thought, well, maybe I'll just video it. And this is how you do it. It's not that hard.
Send them to the stud dog course. Yeah.
I have videoing would be people, but I don't know.
Oh, that $50, you know. Kathleen DuPont, what if a puppy has Giardia but no symptoms, no loose stool, would you treat? I personally would not. So remember, there is having Giardia in the gut and there is a disease, Giardiosis. If they have Giardia in their gut and their immune system is handling it with no loose stools, no fever, no vomiting, then I personally would not treat. I would know it was there. So if I begin to see a problem, I would be prepared for it. Many, many vets will treat, but a lot of times dogs can handle it without it being a problem. So that's just my personal opinion. Terry Rolfe has a question about MET. My vet gave it to my dog when she had diarrhea. She cultured, said no gram negative at all. When I gave it the second dose, she had a violent, uncharacteristic vomiting. My vet said, stop giving it. Question how common it is. It's not very common because I have breeder friends who hoard it and use it all the time. Yeah, that is not a common reaction, but you've probably heard me say this before, but I'll say it again. I am violently allergic to penicillin. I'll die if I get penicillin again. But that doesn't mean it's not good for everybody else in the world. You know, I just don't take it. So if your dog doesn't do well on MET, don't give her MET. Like, that antibiotics can do that. And so just make sure it's noted in her file and that you are really cognizant of whether you're going to give it. But the drug itself, it does not usually cause problems. It's why it's used so much. But the thing I would say is that, so if you search on MET in the group, Danette Weick posted a really interesting paper, recent paper, I think it was 2021, about the effect of metronidazole on gut bacteria and how long it takes for the gut to recover after treatment. And that that article really, it shocked her, it shocked me. The drug is so commonly used, and I won't say used without cause, but I don't think any of us kind of realized how much it shook up the gut bacteria. So I, you know, you can talk to your breeder friends or not, but it shouldn't be used casually. It shouldn't just be used, a dog has loose stools and you have no idea why, and you just pop it somehow. That's not a wise use of it. Clay, the pink stuff, slippery elm, rice, much safer to use than just giving antibiotics. Lynn, it looks like you got the wormers.
Thank you very much.
Yep, they're all in the, yeah, thank good, Terry. I'm glad that was helpful. I'm sorry she got so sick.
Gail, can I just interject a word of caution with using Met too?
Yeah.
That it should never be used with fenbendazole. We had a puppy that had a fatal allergic or a fatal reaction to that. And the vet that prescribed it was not aware of that reaction, but it's actually appears in like 12% of times or stuff. There's studies on it. So, and in talking to several other vets, they said, yeah, never, ever, ever give those two drugs together.
Oh, Barb, that's important for you. Don't you have puppies that run both? Panicure and you're muted.
But Panicure and metronidazole, they were on those, not fenbendazole.
Panicure is fenbendazole.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah.
I thought they always, I mean, all these local vets, well, these aren't local vets, all of them. Everybody seems to want to just put puppies on metro. And I kind of, you know, I didn't want to go against the vets, but I was kind of like, gosh, you know, try some other things.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's interesting, Kelsey. Thank you for sharing.
Okay, so I will email that off today, later.
Yeah, and they should, unless they're really having problems, they should be fine on just fenbendazole.
See, that's what I think.
They don't really need an antibiotic.
If Dr. Cindy will do both together, but the dosing for puppies is very different on metronidazole than for an adult dog. It's not... you don't give the same amount, you know, just basing it on weight like they're an adult dog. So I can't remember how she did it, but it's very different than my primary vet did it. So I've not done it very often, but and one other thing about metronidazole, it can have neurological effects in a lot of dogs. An ER vet warned me about that with Nick when he had hemangio, and he said, you know, we always used to think it was so benign, but it's not. And lo and behold, me with scoliosis, neurological effects from metronidazole. So I went, oh yeah, this is nothing to fool around with.
Yeah. Okay, last question. I'm going to answer because we're already over time. Would you test the incoming mail for brucellosis and STDs in fecals? Well, the STD in dogs is brucellosis, and I absolutely would not breed my bitch to any dog that does not have a brucella negative test. Obviously, a fecal will be really helpful for your property for all three dogs that are coming in, Lynn, to make sure they're not bringing anything onto your property. So
how long before breeding should you test that brucellosis test?
You can. So most of us for bitches test when they come in season. So when you take them for the first progesterone, you do the brucella test then. Males can be done further in advance as long as they're not breeding anyone in between. If I was bringing a dog onto my property and he was breeding anybody in between, I would do it right before, days before he came onto the property. And just run fecals on each of them to make sure you're not being blessed with coccidia or something like that. And that should sort of be in the contract that they have to have negative tests before they are brought to your property.
Okay.
I was just going to ask that to follow up. It would need to be before they came to the property, no? Because isn't brucellosis, it's not exactly an STD. They can get it from sniffing, you know, it's a mucous membrane transmission, not just breeding transmission.
Correct. Right? Correct. Yeah, that's, I think that's what I was saying. But yes, before they set foot on the property, before you do a breeding, they should have a negative fecal and they should have a negative brucellosis test. And especially with the fecal, you want to have time to treat. So that could be done 2 weeks in advance, 3 weeks in advance. The brucella, I would try and do closer because as Eve says, dogs can catch brucellosis from licking each other, from nose-to-nose contact. The biggest issue is males licking the vagina or the lips of a bitch, because they tend to do that when they're flirting. And that's mucous membrane to mucous membrane. And so that's a really, brucellosis is not very common, but your dogs will either end up dead or your breeding program will end up shut down if you have it. So it's such a serious disease. It's worth it.
I almost ran into it and I backed out.
Wisely. Because I wanted
a puppy and another breeder told me, do not get a puppy from this area because they've had a lot of blue merles with brucellosis for some reason. It was just this one area of where I was living. And I asked her if she tested and she wouldn't tell me.
Nope.
If she tested, and I said, nope, I'm not going. Yeah,
I'm not even a you can tell me person. I'm a send me the document person when it comes to brucellosis. It's just that, you know, the downside is so great with it. Mm-hmm. Okay, guys, we have talked forever. So I'm going to wrap it up now, but it was wonderful to see everybody today. Really great questions, great conversation. I appreciate everybody's input. And this will be up probably by Friday. And so if you want to go back and listen, it'll be up in the Breeder College. Otherwise, I will see you on Facebook. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.